human nature. This is, in my opinion, some good application and good material here. I got I got a study here today, or want to cover what they call the Jonah principle. Now, when you hear the Jonah principle, there's a lot going on. I'm going to tell you what the Jonah principle is. We all suffer that one time, and I'm going to show you that principle and how we can work through that. Last week, we covered patterns. We talked about the Solomon principle, the water principle, about God setting up patterns in life. Everything has a pattern. You know, you can see it, and God puts it all throughout us, and understanding and how it works, the human nature, and looking through the scripture so that can use human nature, revealed through scripture, and to help folks. So this study here really has threefold. If you're listening to it, there's some things here like, hey, that's something that happened in my life. A lot of times it fits in scripture, even though how it fit in, but now you see how that pattern fit into your life. You can see how maybe it'll improve your life, and also maybe how you can help others. That's, we all want to help some others, so that's what this is, a threefold practice. And now, a lot of people have troubles in their life. That's just the way life is. There's troubles. And there's several levels of problems. I'm going to cover them as the study goes on in a little more detail. But I call level one Band-Aid. Little ouches in life. They're simple issues such as someone lacking self-worth, being lonely in life, something, having trust issues. That's a kind of a level one, and I'll get more details later on. There's a kind of a level two I call broken arms. This will be somebody in at mid-level maybe has a problem with smoking or drinking. Sometimes it's a simple marital issue within the marriage. Sometimes it's personal issues, a little more deep-seated than level one. At this level, you begin to develop it takes over the flesh a little bit, these problems. These issues require a little more time and a good biblical structure. And then there's things called heart transplants and brain surgery issues. This is the level three. This is the third level, require comprehensive understanding of biblical principles. So I want to get a little more detail in. This will be dealing with satanic strongholds that will be dealing with deep-seated issues. People who are severely alcoholic or have severe drug abuses. This will be dealing with people who want maybe to commit suicide, who have high levels of emotional issues in their lives, who find everything they do affects them. This will be someone who has maybe addicted to pornography or other addictions and have a stronghold in their life. This will be people maybe that had maybe 10, 15, 25 years ago as a child, maybe were abused or molested by a family member and never get those things resolved. They're still in their life. These are things that we're going to get dealing with this high level. And it takes more than, oh, here's some scripture and a principle, and there you go. These things I cover here in level three damage the spirit. And you have to know how to go in, like someone having a brain surgery or someone with heart transplant, and be able to meticulously deal with these things. These are very complex issues. Most of the time, there's layers that got to be unraveled. And this requires a high level of applying biblical principles. I'm going to get to some of them. Matter of fact, we're praying for this Don I mentioned here. And a couple weeks ago, I went fishing to Canada. And, you know, it's my time just to get away. We're just fishing with brothers, you know, so forth. And one of my guys, I invited Don. He's a believer. He's from Kansas City. He flew up to St. Paul, Minnesota. And around the third or fourth day, we're traveling on the boat, and I'm talking to him about how things are going. He goes, well, I talked to you about some things. I go, sure. And he told me an issue that was, no question, a level three problem. I'm like, oh, man, that's a bad issue. Oh, yeah, and on top of that, this happened. It was like, oh, you're kidding me. And then not only that, this happened. It was so bad, honestly, it almost ruined my trip. Okay, I love the guy. You know, you hear about private problems, but when it's someone you know, in fact, it was so bad that I never told anyone else on the trip because I don't want to ruin their trip. After we dropped him off in the airport, I go, we got to pray for Brother Don. But I'm going to get him some help, but he's got some serious, serious, serious level three issues. One, two, three. Not one, three compounding on there. And those really need some help. That's someone you want to help out. He did need some help there. So anyways, this accountability of the Bible is based on the Bible. This is a little prelude. According to people not to be forced into loving God or doing right. You can't force people to do right or to love God. You understand that? But you have to create an environment and an atmosphere so to do so. Just like God gives a pattern for growing things. We have farmers. There's a pattern for farmers. They get the right amount of rain. Lord provides sunshine, the right amount of this and that. And guess what happens? A crop comes out, right? You don't go to the crop and yell the crop, grow, grow, right? Grow, crop, grow. See, it takes some call. See, it's a principle there. You get that? That's the same thing with biblical things. There's a process and a pattern. You got to let the natural things of God that God created biblically allow them to net growth. You get that? And that's what we're going to cover during our study here. Now, the Jonah principle. I'll give you some prelude to the Jonah principle. Now, today I have to show you a great fundamental principle. And I want to show you some good people who are generally saved often struggle with the call of God. Now let me make something up. I see. Are they making the call of God? Or are they making it? Well, let me define the word making it. For example, here, making it is not because someone maybe goes to church or not goes to church. That may be true or not. Maybe someone that hasn't been discipled, they ain't making. No. Someone says we're making it means you've been discipled or not. Maybe, maybe not. But my definition of making it is clearly understanding this. It's the day that you got saved, God gave you a calling. Now, you may not know what that is, but everyone has a calling. You got to get that. You have a calling. And the simple question of whether you make it or not is whether you, not if you go to church or not go to church, or you get mad issues or not. The bottom line of making it is, are you going to fulfill the calling of God in your life? It's that simple. It's really that simple. You can be a nice, safe person, attend church for 50 years, and not know the calling of God. People like that. I don't understand it. I don't know how you can sleep at night and the phone's still ringing and you're not answering it. Get that? That goes on in a lot of Bible-believing King James. Right? I'm going to show you about that calling and how you know it and how it affect you spiritually. There are believers, they're not in the world. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They work hard, pay their bills, raise their families. They go to church every Saturday or Sundays and evenings and Wednesdays and Thursday, but they never lift a finger to help the pastor and when build the work, be a part of it. There are a lot of people like that. You understand that? Their whole life is about taking everything that God gives them, a lot of good things, but never giving anything back. That's a problem today. Big problem today. Churches are filled with people like this. You can't ever develop an attitude with them. And this is something that I've learned. I'm an older guy, and I go, well, you know, I'm always trying to get involved, and I have little issues with people that didn't do it. But I've learned this principle right here. You can't develop a principle to them. You can't frustrate you. You have to operate on this principle of grace and truth. Got to get that. That's what Jesus Christ, he came with grace and truth. Very important to get that. If you only operate on your limited mind of thinking of truth versus the spirit of law, then you're going to develop an attitude of writing them off. Count them out. The ministry is people. You get that? I mean, we're in people business. I mean, say you remodel a bathroom. Well, that's maybe ministry, but you're doing it for the people. You get that, you know? So the ministry's people, if you don't ever show them grace, then get out of the ministry. It's grace and truth. You may have the truth, and the truth may be whatever you don't like about the person, but you have to apply grace to it. And here's the ultimate thing. Good for here. Remember how I must have looked to God the first time I got saved. I got saved later at 25. Think about that. Can you imagine looking at me? Dumb, knucklehead, rebellious, sinful person. I'm glad he didn't give me all truth. Amen? He gave me grace. Maybe you got saved at a young age of 6, 7 years old, or a pastor who stole a Tonka truck one day was worried about it. Remember that sermon, you know? I mean, God bless him, man, you know? But he went, though, hey, I'm glad I didn't have all truth that God looked at me. He gave me some grace. Amen? And that's the kind of the attitude you got to have in the ministry. I'm getting to this point before the Jonah principle because it's kind of a rough principle, but I want to make sure I lay a good foundation. Now, here's a verse. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That's the complete opposite today of the selfishness we have even in the church. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, in later days some shall part the faith, give heed to seeing spirits, and talks about the later day Laodicean church. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own self. The first thing is lovers themselves. That's selfishness. Get that? The first problem that God puts out is you love yourself. So then you put in, what's joy? Jesus, others, yourself. I said 100 times, right? And so it's a selfishness. Now, that's a great verse. I'm going to tell you right now, the ministry is about pleasing, is about not pleasing yourself. That's the opposite of selfishness. When you disciple somebody or work with somebody or minister somebody, it's not about how convenient to you. When you work with somebody, you have to kind of work with their schedule. That's just the kind of the way it is. Your whole world revolves around and within the person you're working with. You're not going to do it for your benefit. It makes it easy for you. You have to sacrifice to make it easy for them. That's real ministry. And people see that, hey, this guy's really giving me a break. You see, it's not our strength in the ministry or the strength of the church or my strength or your strength or strength in life. It's being there. It's being there for the weak, helping people who can't help themselves. It's you who are strong, bearing the infirmities of the weak. I read that verse. Now, let me give an example. Years ago, one of my clients, I got a call, was dying. I remember her name was Sandy. And I got home. It was like in the January, February. It's cold, remember, dark at 4:30. And I got a call. I go, man, the Lord says, go see her. I go, oh, man. I got home. I'm tired. I got all stuff going on. But, you know, you got to listen to that call, that Lord. So they were in the hospital way up in Mundelein, Illinois. From my house to Mundelein, Illinois was like 1 hour, 15 minutes. At nighttime, driving or tired. Remember, okay, Lord, I'm going. And the whole way over there, you know, going to what hospitals with unsafe people, that's a ton of tough thing to be in. Who's going to be there? What are you going to say? You know, what are you going to pray? You know, what do you do? I mean, you kind of, what are you going to do? It's kind of a tough spot to be in. I go into believers, you know, and so forth, you know. So I get to the hospital, and I ask for the room. And I go, oh, everyone just left. So I walk in the room, and there's Sandy laying there, no one but me and her. She didn't look like the person I remember because she was so, had cancer. And so I talked a little bit. She never answered. I gave her the gospel. I don't know if she ever heard. And so I left, went home. I go, man, 3 hours of my time, I thought to myself, kind of wasted. Remember, this is the thing about when you're in the call and thought to follow the Lord. And so, the Lord wanted me to go there. Nothing happened. No one was there. Talked to nobody. It seemed like an hour and a half of thing. Well, anyways, as Paul Harvey tell you the rest of the story, her husband was married again, passed away. And then our office is dealing with settling the estate for them, everything and all that. And there are two daughters and a son. And so I'm trying to witness to them a little bit, you know. And I'm talking to the son, and I told him about, I visited your mom here. When I told him that, he kind of goes, hey, man. And he was open. He was had some drug problems. Now he's better. And I was able to get him the gospel. He got saved. Back, I minister to them all the time. Talk to them. Hey, my name is Brian Holdred. And he's growing. But, you know, so the Lord did that back over here at a time where you don't think I could work, but he worked out later. That's why if you're doing something for the Lord, you just do it heartily, no matter what you think. So that's just a little story where, hey, just where the Lord can use you. And that brother, he's a good, you know, he's growing. Got him in the Good Little Baptist Church out there, and he's growing. And praise the Lord that he saw that me going for that, his mom, talked to him. Why would you do that? Well, the gospel. Now, for this pattern, We're going to talk today the Jonah principle, and our last time of Solomon principle and the water principle. Let's do a little historical book on Jonah. I know you know all about the story, but I want it very important I get some things ahead of time so you can get the key point of the story. Jonah was one of the prophets, you know, the book of Jonah, and a minor prophet. And Jonah was called by God to preach the word of God to the people of the city of Nineveh. You got that? But Jonah rejected the calling that God had given him. You get that? He didn't want to take the word of God to the people of Nineveh. He rejected his calling. And when I show you why God, why he rejected it, people get that? It's many times we have the exact same problem in life. But look at this thing here. There's a reason why this. I think the need to understand it because it's part of the workable problem that's going on today. Nineveh was the arch enemy of the nation Israel. You can find that in 2 Kings 17. Time to look at today. That's a fact. Nineveh is about to wipe out a nation of Israel. Jonah sees his calling as a suicide mission. Hey, man, I go to those guys. I heard they're pretty brutal. That's a suicide mission. If he goes there, he's going to get killed. If he goes there and tell them he's an Israelite, they'll probably know about it, that he's enemy, he loses life. So he says, I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. In chapter 1, verse 2, at 3, the Bible says he flees from God. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down to it to go unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, he leaves the presence of God. And basically, I'll stop here because you know the rest of the story. What happens to him, he went to Whale University and got educated. Amen? We all get that, right? You know? Now, I want to continue how this applies to people that like us in the ministry that are saved. And here's the application. You will see God, people who are good people, do this exact same thing. God has called every man and woman, take the word of God to the lost world, they're Nineveh, and the world, just like Nineveh, and his calling, the world too, will be your enemies, and they'll be absolutely against you. So you will see God's people are faced with this calling. I do precisely what Jonah did, and they refused to go. Here's why. Now, I want to break it down for you real simply. Here's the bottom line. Why do people not get involved with ministry for people? Because, like Jonah, they're afraid. They're afraid, man. They're fear. You know, the biggest thing about afraid, not dying, it's public speaking. They're afraid. They're doing the Jonah thing. I'm afraid to go. And rightly so. I mean, obviously he thought he was going to die, but they're afraid to go. And it's about fear. They're so scared and fearful of what people will think about them and say about them. But a lot of people that do not like confrontation, right? Hey, I don't like confrontation. I got a study coming up here on why kids leave. You know why mostly they leave? Confrontation. If I confront my kids or something about this year, it's a fight. So I just won't say nothing at all. That's the worst thing to do. I mean, it's time. Hey, I won't say anything because it causes conflict. And by not saying anything, you're not solving the problem. You get that? So it's fear and conflict. That's the Jonah principle. You got to get that. There are many people who dislike controversy. And by the way, I am one of them, believe it or not. Many times, good people won't get involved in ministry. They don't want to do anything they need to do because of the calling of God separates them. Hey, we had controversy on Friday. Me and Gene went to Sugar Grove Festival, Corn Fest. And I got my list over there. I have a Poshmark 1,000-track event. I mean, I know where to go, park the car, same old thing, a lot of people. And, of course, when I'm giving out many tracks out, I know somewhere along the devil's going to show up with something. And of course, he does, with a lady and a couple guys. And they go, oh, you can't be here. I go, well, I'm nice. I go, oh, I can't. I'm on a public street. Oh, you have to go over there. You know the story. We have a permit. I'm smiling. I go, don't take it personally, but your permit does not trump the Constitution. I like it right here. You know, I smile at him. You know, I mean, call whoever you want to call, please, but I'm staying right here. I don't want to go over there. People are right here. You know, I'm nice about it, you know. And they could tell I went back and down, I'm doing, but there's one guy, how about it, Gene? He did not like that. Whoa, he was in my face the whole time. Don't take tracks. And I go, what? He's, of course, a Catholic turned atheist. You know the type. But it's that conflict. Hey, I mean, my wife thought, she doesn't like it because she goes, he's going to take a gun out and shoot you. I'm not worried about it, but he's just a worker there. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. He goes, no one takes tracks here. I go, they're all taking tracks. 95 people take them. Thrown away. Show me one track thrown away. And then as he was saying that, here comes three girls back. Oh, hey, we got your tracks. We love you being here. We want to pray for you. This is the Lord, you know. And I go, by the way, this guy here is atheist. He needs prayer too. Oh, yeah, what were you doing? I mean, the Lord set this whole thing up here. Put their hand on me, and they prayed for me. You know what? They're young. They had a good prayer. Help this brother out. Witness for the Lord. I mean, I felt like I had five doses of coffee. I was going, you know. I mean, that's the Lord in the battle with this guy here. And eventually, he eventually kind of left, but he was a kind of a nuisance. But that's that conflict. I don't like conflict. Anyone here like conflict? No. But that's what happened to Jonah. He was fearful. Probably so. And conflict. And that's a Jonah principle. They'll mess you up and mess people up. Here we go. Sometimes, you know why? This kind of conflict separates you from your family. Sometimes separates from your marriage. Sometimes separates from people you think are your friends. Certainly, it separates you from relationships because the call of God in ministry requires you to take a stand. Get that? And that's tough for people, taking a stand, like Jonah. And you're going to find people who don't appreciate your stand, and really hard for people. Yeah, they're good people. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm just showing you a pattern. This is a pattern of life. Because within your family, within your marriage, within your relationship, your friendships, you're going to have to take a stand. And it will change things. And we'll get controversial. Get that? You take a stand for the Lord, I guarantee you, every time you do it, there's controversy. I found that most people have trouble with their kids because they can't could do this thing, you know. So it's accountability is the key thing. Now, let's look at some principles here in Jonah and see what happened here. First of all, we have some disobedience. Jonah 1:4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like it was broken. So what did God do? God sent a storm. By you not obeying the call of God, a storm's coming. You get that? Now, when I think of a storm, I think of, ever heard of the Andrea Gale? It's a famous ship. It's a little movie made about it. It's called The Perfect Storm. In 1991, in Massachusetts, there was a ship and a crew that got lost in a storm. They were never found. And a perfect storm is storms converting from different areas made a terrible thing. I've always looked at the storm in Jonah and the storms in our lives when we don't follow what the Bible says. The guy I mentioned, Don, he has a perfect storm coming in his life. I don't know what happened, but he is in the perfect storm. Sometimes we get in a perfect storm, and I'm going to show you how to get out of it from the scripture. And so you could either go, hey, that's what I did. Oh, no, I know how to do it, or be able to know it and help somebody out. That's what the whole idea of the study here is. Amen? So running from God's call will create a perfect storm in your life or some life. I guarantee it. We all know that. This is something you need to understand when we're dealing with. Now, it may take one or two or three levels. The first level may be there's some clouds on the horizon. Second level may be it's starting to thunder. But the third level, you're in the storm. You get that? Okay, now, you say, oh, Tim, that's Jonah principle is nice, but it's Old Testament. Well, hang on a minute. I'm glad you mentioned that. Here's how I'm going to solve this problem with you. I'll show you the answer here. Acts 27. Acts 27 is a great example. It goes exactly what happened to Jonah, and it shows us how to handle these storms exactly. This is an excellent study of a storm that comes in God's people's lives as a refusal to obey God. It's the Apostle Paul. The greatest apostle of all time. Hey, he's the greatest apostle of all time, but he had a problem. Like, we're all going to have a problem. Right? Amen? And if you know your Bible, five times God warned Paul not to go down to Jerusalem, right? Boom, 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 boom. You know, it's like, I'm like the devil saying, I will be like, you know, same thing, you know. Once you have five, three stretch you out, but five, you're done. So five times he's warned, don't go down to Jerusalem. But he went anyways. I understand his burden and his passion. They were honorable. He had an honorable burden and an honorable passion, without a doubt. And I understand that he got ahead of God. And that's very dangerous in the ministry, or if you were the Lord. My point, bottom line, the letter of the law versus the grace. The letter of the law, you'll never violate God's principle, no matter what your emotions tell you you should do, like Paul. But we're all human, and we thank God for his grace. Amen? I mean, not about you, but I've gotten ahead of the Lord many times and got some trouble, but the grace of God came through. Amen? So that kind of happened to Paul. I'll show you what happened here. And here I want to get you a more specific principle, and there's seven key things you want to learn about the storm that Paul was in. And I'm not going to get through all seven, so I'm going to give you a couple right now, and we'll have to finish up next time. But there's seven principles. You got to get these things. These are patterns that God gave us in Scripture, so when we see when a storm comes up, why that storm came up, and how to handle it. Number one, the storm came to Paul because of disobedience. The first one is obvious. Storms come up, and it came up in Jonah's life, disobedience, and it came up in Paul's life, disobedience. That's pretty basic. Amen? Get that? Two, the storm starts when you start going in the wrong direction. The second thing is you see that Paul got out of fellowship with God and disobeyed God and did his own thing. You can be walk with the Lord or think you are and get out of God's direction. He's not, he got himself into jail and in trouble and put him on a ship going to Alexandria, Egypt. What's Alexandria, Egypt? Type of the world. That's how it is. Hey, man, the storm starts with you going in the wrong directions. And in verse 26 for 7, he finds a ship going to Alexander, wrong direction, back to the world. And it says here that, and there the centurion found the ship of Alexander sailing into Italy, and he put there on, type of the world. So, yeah, this all sounds good, but I'm out of the will of God, wrong direction. Number three, he hit a terrible storm called Cyclodarian, whatever it calls, Cyclodon. Acts 27:14. But not long after, there arose against a tempestuous wind called Electrocycladon. There's a storm. Get it? Hey, man, I'm going this way. God says, go this way here. Will of God? Nope. I'm going the wrong direction. Oh, I'll send you a storm. Now watch what happened to the storm, how he got out. Next time I'm going to show you the difference between Paul and Jonah, but I'm going to show you what happened here today. The storm had a name. It's a terrible storm. It's a perfect storm. Get that? The winds came from all four directions, and the ship can't go anywhere. It can't move any distance. The wind of the storm holds the ship in place, where the waves beat in pieces, and it can't go anywhere. It's a picture of what happens in your and my life when we disobey God and we hit the perfect storm. Amen? You're dead in the water and you're going nowhere with your life. You may think you are. You may get a better job. You may find some girl or some guy. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about if you're a believer, a Christian, and you're not doing what anything you're doing, if you're going anywhere with God, you're not going anywhere with God because you reject the calling of God. That's a problem. You're in a storm. Sometimes you don't realize you're in this midst. And that's what happened here. Hit the storm. Number four, the ship begins to fall apart. The storm is so bad and so severe, we're told it begins to fall apart. Just like your life will be when you're in a storm and you're not getting out. Acts 27:17, it says, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, stake sail, and so were driven. The storm is so great that your life is unraveling. Everything is turning to dust. The story, you're going to find that the sailors are trying to do precisely what God's people do when their ship begins to sink. And their life begins to fall to pieces. They try to strap the ship together with metal bands or ropes or bring things together. The stake, the sail, that means they take the sails down because the wind is not catching it, rip everything apart. They do everything humanly possible to get out of the storm, but they can't get out of the storm because they're working on their human side. You get that? God's people reject the call, whatever kind of call it is, doing everything they can to get back on shore from a storm, but don't work. That's a good spot to realize, hey man, I'm trying to do it my own way, but it ain't working. Amen? Now, principle five is they only have safety at land. I'm stopping there because we're out of time. But when I pick this up here, I'm going to show you how they get to land, how they use the anchors, what the anchors represent, and number seven, the greatest thing of all. I'll show you how you're in this storm. People are in this storm. It's a terrible storm. It's a perfect storm. Trying to go away. And what do you do? God puts this pattern right here in Acts in plain sight. I'm going to show you what that is next time. Okay? Questions? Comments? All right, Father in heaven, thank you for the words of God. And the word of God is exciting. It's sad. It's joyous. And a lot of times we see these challenges or problems that we have, and they're right here in plain sight, and understanding the Bible's patterns, be able to apply them, make it very easy to get out of these. It's hard to do, but yet you put the pattern right here in Scripture, the absolute authority. Well, thank you very much for it. We look forward to picking it up next time. Pray for our brother Hoffman as he comes and delivers us what we have for us. And thank you for the saints here. Hope they're taking notes and listening and being able to maybe use some of these principles that maybe help them or others. And we give you the praise and the honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.